This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to talk to Judge Jim Gray, who's running for the United States Senate from California. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Mark, it's always fun to talk with you and to share thoughts with your listeners.
Right. Now, we're going to skip the joke from Mark Twain about the Congress that you included in this Judge Jim Gray-gram, and we're going to move right on to what the main topic there is, which is three strikes. Your opponent, Bill Jones, is the principal architect of three strikes, wasn't he?
Well, that's correct, and he is adamant against any change of it whatsoever, even though it has worked enormous hardships against people, their families, and certainly the taxpayers.
All right, let's be even a little more specific. What's the problem? Who's being put away? What was the intention of the law in its best, the best intentions of the people who did it, and what's actually been happening with the law?
Of course. Well, the intention, as we all know, was to take violent offenders and make sure that they were removed from society. Anybody, my heavens, if they would be involved in three takeover robberies or armed robberies or kidnapping, things like that, they should not be in our society. They should not be amongst us.
If we go back a second, when was this law implemented?
10 years ago.
10 years ago, okay.
About 1994.
All right.
In that neighborhood.
Okay.
And unfortunately, today we have something like 65,000 people incarcerated in the state of California under either a second or third strike, and a full two-thirds of them right this minute are incarcerated for a nonviolent offense.
And of those, what are the most popular nonviolent offenses?
Drug offenses. Mark, we have three times the number of people serving a 25 years to life sentence for a third strike in California for marijuana violations than for robbery, rape, and murder combined. You have to understand, I've been involved in the criminal justice system for 20 years.
Right.
As a judge, and before that a prosecutor and criminal defense attorney. And if this tool is out there, prosecutors are going to use it. They're lazy, they want to get a notch on their pistol or whatever it is that they're talking about, and they will just use this to bludgeon people to plead guilty, even if they may not be guilty, because of this enormous penalty if, in fact, they go to trial and are convicted. Some people believe they're not guilty of an offense or even innocent of it. They do go to trial, and then they're hamstrung, and they're serving their rotting time in prison. They're not a threat to us. So we simply need to modify this to make it conform with the intent that originally was present in the voters when it was passed.
Okay, now you're saying that you mentioned here that Joe Klass, who's the father of Polly Klass, was also involved in the formulation of the original three strikes law. How does he feel about it now?
I was with Joe down in San Diego last week, middle of last week, and he is one of those leading the charge to have the three strikes laws amended. He's realized that they do not conform with the intent of what was passed originally. He has seen that it's a tragedy, that it's an injustice upon us all, and is leading the charge for change.
Now, is there a particular bill of particulars that Mr. Klass or you or both of or others have put forward, or is there a pending bill in Sacramento that would modify three strikes?
There actually is an initiative that has been certified by the Secretary of State in California that will be on the ballot on November the 2nd to modify three strikes, to require that all of the violations be violent, which is within our desire.
Right.
And it's going to expand the purview of three strikes to include people that sexually molest our children,
so
which is also appropriate.
Right, so it essentially fine-tunes it.
Yes, it's beyond a fine-tune.
It's a gross tuning.
It is a change of direction, a change of course that is long since necessary.
And you support the provisions of this initiative?
I support it completely.
Okay. As well as running hardships on families and individuals who are caught up in this for nonviolent offenses, what's the cost to the taxpayer?
Well, it costs, depending upon the person, about $30,000 a year to keep a person in prison.
That's almost as much as it costs to go to Stanford.
Well, in fact, that's right. And, of course, that's assuming they're healthy.
Right.
If they're not, and a lot of these 25 years to life folks are getting older,
right.
It can cost upwards of $100,000 a year if, in fact, they're not healthy, because the Constitution dictates that they receive top-quality medical care, which I agree with. If somebody is in our custody, I think that they're entitled to proper care.
Now, there's a union of guards in the prisons who give a lot of money to politicians. Are they giving any money to you?
No, I have not solicited any money from the Prison Guards Union, and they have not contributed any.
What effect do you think that their contributions to candidates has on the legislative process?
Well, I guess, Mark, that your perceptions would be the same as mine. I do know that the Prison Guards Union donated a great deal of money to the original three strikes. They've also donated money to people that passed mandatory minimum sentences and the rest. As far as impugning their motives, I'm not in a position to do that, but I can say that they do spend a great deal of money on initiatives that keep people in prison a longer period of time and actually spend a lot of money on opponents to people that oppose those motions.
So, now, do you know if they're going to be giving any... Is there an organization yet in support of the initiative you mentioned, and is there one against it, and are the prison guards giving money to the one against it?
There is an organization to propose this amendment. As to the latter question, we still don't have the time periods yet. I think it's the end of June,
right,
wherein you're going to have to disclose your financing. Whether Bill Jones has received money from the Prison Guards Union or otherwise, I simply don't know.
Oh, no, I meant for the initiative to defeat the
mission. There's no organized opposition yet, to my knowledge, other than Bill Jones, who has stated that he's going to spend a lot of money to oppose it.
Okay. Speaking of Bill Jones, and I guess there's someone else running, Barbara Boxer, that's right. How are your efforts to get into some debates going?
Well, the answer is I don't know. I have been the subject of an oral invitation to participate in a debate with Barbara Boxer and Bill Jones, but so far the physical invitation has not yet been released. Unfortunately, the people that are talking about sponsoring it are waiting to see if Bill Jones and Barbara Boxer accept in advance before they give it. The difficulty, as you all know, that why should they share a podium with a third person, so they're not naturally inclined to want to do that. But I think that it certainly is a healthy thing for democracy, a healthy thing for our voters, and a healthy thing for our state.
I've already proposed privately, I think I'll propose it publicly here also, that you set up a forum with video clips from Bill Jones and Barbara Boxer, and you be the only one live, and you debate them.
We're going to do something. I would much prefer to be able to ask questions of my opponents and
right.
let them ask questions of me.
Right.
One way or the other, we must get these ideas out there fully and honestly to the voters of the state of California.
Okay, still enjoying the campaign?
You know, it's exhilarating. I went to lunch today with some supporters who had just finished reading my book, Why Our Drug Laws Have Failed and What We Can Do About It. That chronicles so many unnecessary harms and really gives viable options as well. And the people were rather generous in their praise of it.
Good.
I'm getting contributions from people. They read the LA Times articles and the other things. They're providing it. If your listeners would like more information, have them visit our website. It's www.judgejimgrayforsenate.com. Gray is G-R-A-Y, and it's the number 4. So judgejimgrayforsenate.com. It's interactive. Please give us your email address. And like you just saw, Mark, we send out our Judge Jim Grayograms with some regularity every 10 to 15 days. Refreshing ideas, new and novel ideas to help us in our society. And if your folks agree with them, if they would pass them on to their email universe with their endorsement to support Judge Jim Gray for U.S. Senate and also to have their friends pass it on to their friends as well, that will trump the Boxer and Jones money because that personal contact is invaluable.
Okay, let me get your position on one last thing before I let you go. The main issue that you've been dealing with in public life has been the decriminalization of marijuana, and you've mentioned how the problems it causes when it comes in contact with the three strikes law. After all the thinking and writing and talking you've done about this issue, why do you think it's possible for me to be chatting on the internet with someone in Holland who just bought some legal marijuana and nothing seems to be going wrong in Holland, particularly in the criminal sphere or anywhere else, whereas in the United States, hundreds of thousands of people are locked up for wanting to smoke an herb that grows naturally in the air, where they're not locked up for smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, or even buying prescription drugs without prescriptions?
Well, Mark, I have myself one-on-one been in the offices of two sitting congressmen in Orange County, and they have told me that, Jim, you know, the situation is worse than you think. Lots of people in Washington realize the war on drugs is not winnable, but it's eminently fundable. and they're addicted to spending the money.